Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go. Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30. Logan intercepted. Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Paul Dottino today on this Giants hump day. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, it is a great day out here in New York today. No rain, no snow. We got sun. We got beautiful blue skies. It's a good thing.
It is a good thing, and we're going to have a good show for you today. We've got a lot going on. First and foremost, Mel Kiper Jr. has his 4.0 mock draft that came out. And let's go down it. Tunsil, a lot of people anticipating him to go to the Tennessee Titans. Wentz to the Cleveland Browns. I still think that they're considering Goff. Jalen Ramsey to San Diego. Joey Bosa to the Dallas Cowboys. Miles Jack going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ezekiel Elliott to the Ravens. I actually think they go defense there. But, hey, listen, Mel Kiper would know. He lives in Baltimore, mind you. Jared Goff to the San Francisco 49ers. Everybody's kind of anticipating that trade to go down with the 49ers and the Denver Broncos for Colin Kaepernick. DeForest Buckner at 8 to the Eagles. Ronnie Stanley, offensive lineman, at 9 to the Tampa Bay Bucks. And at 10, what does that say?
There's this guy from Michigan State, an offensive tackle called Jake Conklin, who, by the way, okay, we're going to be talking about in just a couple of minutes with a writer from the Detroit Free Press, Joe Rexroad. Here's the thing about Jack Conklin. He is a powerful, powerful man. And he has been moving up the boards like crazy over the course of the last 3 months. And so my curiosity when we talk about Jack to our writer is going to be what exactly has happened that suddenly people's light bulbs have gone on for him, because Conklin is one of the top three offensive tackles in this draft. I think everybody agrees on that. Some people think maybe he should be taken before Stanley of Notre Dame. Others think that Stanley should go first. So who's two and who's three? That's going to be fun. And coming up later on, I'm going to have a little competition with this young lady.
A competition?
Yeah, we're going to have a competition. We're going to ask you folks.
This is news to me.
We're going to ask you folks who wins between Anita and I. Now, it's dangerous to get into competition with her, but we're going to give
you. You didn't break it down this way.
Oh no, this is a competition.
I know, but you did not communicate it this way, Paul.
We're going to have the Giants play baseball, and I'm going to give you my starting nine New York Giants on the baseball field, and Anita's going to give you her lineup. And you folks, you're going to Twitter us in, and you're going to tell everybody who's going to win.
Or they could call in.
They could do that, too.
They could Twitter us in.
But I'm very confident in my lineup.
Or they could call in. I believe, do we have Joe on the line? In 5 minutes. Okay, so Joe Rexroad is going to join us. He writes for the Detroit Free Press.
Yes.
Excited to talk to him, not only about Conklin again. So Mel Kiper has him going to the Giants at 10. But also, you know, even though, yes, I get it. The Giants are not in the market for a quarterback. But Connor Cook is a very intriguing guy to me. Bill Parcells, did you see the article that came out? I want to say it was last week.
Did not. From Bill?
In regard to how Bill Parcells ranks quarterbacks.
Okay. I did not see it.
And what he finds important. It's in this stack somewhere.
I can tell you from experience.
I'm going to find it, I promise.
Without question, toughness and leadership skills are going to be two of the highest things on that list.
But there are other things on there that are pretty interesting in regard to being a senior. And I'm going to find it because I found it to be really interesting. And long story short, though, based on the intangibles that Bill Parcells finds important.
Right.
He has Connor Cook as his number one quarterback coming out.
How about that? Well, you know, as we were discussing, and I put these little capsules together a lot of times to remind myself of the film that I've been watching over the last couple of months. And the things that I wrote down on Cook: often makes poor decisions, too often affected by pressure in the pocket, and sometimes uses poor footwork. Those are the kinds of things that potentially can be cleaned up. I mean, you know, these are not bad, 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 bad things. But I'll tell you what. I know a lot of people, Anita, who had said, I guess it was maybe last summer or even starting the fall, that Connor Cook would probably be a heck of a backup in the NFL. There were some folks that didn't even think he'd be a starter. And now all of a sudden he's finding himself high in the first round. So go ahead. What do you got?
I found it. Okay. So now to part, they're calling these the Parcells rules.
Okay.
Okay. During his long tenure as a successful talent evaluator, Hall of Fame head coach Bill Parcells came up with a list of 7 criteria that he used when grading quarterbacks in an upcoming NFL draft. Number 1, be a 3-year starter.
Okay.
Number 2, be a senior in college. Number 3, graduate from college. Number 4, start 30 games. Number 5, win 23 games. Number 6, post a 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. 7, tally a completion rate of 60% or higher. Connor Cook answers yes to 6 of those 7.
You know, and you know, I go back with Parcells to the early 80s. I never remember him coming up with that list. So that's good,
and
it's
only,
news to me.
And
but
the only one that he does not meet the criteria is the 60% completion. He was at 57.5.
Wow.
57.5. So based on that criteria from the one and only Bill Parcells, that obviously means a lot to this organization, in regard to that criteria, he would have Connor Cook as number one. Interesting,
you
know, right?
No question. You know what I will remember? I remember when Troy Aikman came out of UCLA, and there were some questions about him. And remember the first year he was with the Cowboys, they were just god-awful. I remember Parcells telling us in a sit-down in the Giant Stadium press room how he believed that Troy Aikman was going to wind up being one of the premier quarterbacks of the era and a future Hall of Famer. He was 1,000% convinced that Troy Aikman was going to be not just really good, but awesome and spectacular. So if that means he had an eye for quarterbacks, I guess it does, because you know, certainly Troy Aikman far exceeded, I think, anybody's expectations, even the folks at the Bruins back in the college days.
Want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live, sponsored by of course, DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination at DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Also want to remind you, log on to Giants.com for the mock draft, tracker as well. Pretty interesting as well. And I kind of liked, I was hosting with Feagles the other day when they were kind of showing, like, you know, who would you rather the Giants draft? And Giants fans could log on, pick, and then give their reason why,
right,
give their explanation, their argument why the Giants should, like, say, for example, draft Hargraves over Conklin or whatever.
I think we talked about that last week on a show that we did.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Have you logged on to see kind of some of the arguments?
I haven't, because I got enough arguments in my own head. I'm trying to sort it out myself without getting any additional help.
You're funny. All right, let's bring in our guest, Joe Rexroad, Detroit Free Press, and Joe, man, what a time to have you on. First and foremost, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino. But a very opportune time, because Mel Kiper just came out with his 4.0 mock draft, and he actually has Jack Conklin going to the Giants at 10.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and you know, my understanding is, you know, maybe, you know, of course, you know, the Titans are the one pick. There's talk about, you know, obviously they could always move out of there, and he might be, you know, a backup to Tunsil for them, and I'm sure some other teams too. But I know that Conklin talked back in Indy about the Giants and really connecting with some of their coaches. So I think that's obviously been on his radar for a while.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you this, because it seemed to me from everything that I had heard a couple of months back, Conklin was viewed as a bulldozer, a better run blocker than a pass blocker, but somebody who's very physical, very powerful, can probably play either tackle in the NFL. And there were a lot of good things that I heard about him. But at the same time, I was hearing things like he might be an early second round guy. And then all of a sudden he started getting into the late first round and then the middle of the first round. And now there are some people who are saying he's going to be the second tackle taken after Tunsil, ahead of even Stanley from Notre Dame. Those two guys are flopping 2 and 3 depending upon who you talk to. So could you please explain to me why Conklin is kind of shooting up like a rocket ship on everybody's board over the last couple of months.
Yeah, well, Conklin's a really interesting case, and I'll tell you that last year when he was a redshirt sophomore at Michigan State, I made the comment at one point, like, I could see this guy being the number one overall pick. Now, granted, I'm a college beat writer, so mostly I see college guys, but I think a big thing with Conklin is that, he sprained his knee this year, and he played a lot of the year not at full health, and you could tell. If you go back and watch his sophomore film, his 2014 film, Joey Bosa could do nothing against him. They finally just switched sides. Randy Gregory could do nothing against him. Just one-on-one, just shut him down. I personally think that he has the skill set to be a starting and standout left tackle in the NFL. And I understand what people are saying. I think he can play the right side. He's a physical guy. But I think when he's all healthy, I think he has that athleticism, that range, that lateral movement, the long arms. I think he's got the whole package. And, of course, you're talking about a zero-star recruit coming out of high school. So he's been shooting up, quickly over the last couple of years here.
It's very interesting because the Giants have been pretty adamant about Eric Flowers staying at the left tackle position. So, I don't know if that will play a role into possibly deciding if it's Conklin or not. Another guy that I wanted to bring up and get your take on is Connor Cook. Now, not that the Giants are interested in a quarterback, and everything I'm hearing is that he's probably going to go late first, possibly second. But I just shared with Paul Dottino, Bill Parcells released his criteria in regard to how he ranks quarterbacks coming into the draft out of college. And based on his criteria, Connor Cook meets 6 of his 7. The only one that he does not meet is that he expects a 60% completion rate ratio, and Connor Cook sits at 57.5. But other than that, 3-year starter, a senior, graduated from college, started 30 games, won 23 games. This would be a guy that would be pretty high up on Bill Parcells' draft board.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting with Connor Cook. I think obviously so much has been made of the fact that he wasn't a captain. I mean, that was all the talk in Indy when he was brought up, and it's been rehashed a lot. But I think he's gotten over that to an extent with the interviews. I think he's helped himself, and he's certainly has all the physical tools. The completion percentage. There are times when he'll miss an easy pass. He'll make, of course, some very difficult ones, but he also plays in a play action, a lot of vertical passing offense. He doesn't get the benefit of, 4 or 5 bubble screens a game. But it's going to be interesting with him. I think he's got the tools to be a very good NFL quarterback.
All right, let me ask you about a couple of other guys: Aaron Burbridge and Shalik Calhoun, who will probably be early third day picks, I would think, maybe. Even third round, maybe as high as third, but more likely third or fourth. Are these guys, in your mind, can't miss, make it guys, even though they won't be first round picks?
I would expect both guys to be productive NFL players. I think Aaron Burbridge is a perfect slot receiver in the NFL. Obviously he played on the outside in college, but his change of direction is exceptional. He really is strong hands. Goes up and gets the ball, has learned how to become much more physical. This was a guy who, came in, was a big recruit, had a lot of talent, but, really struggled for 3 years to fully, maximize his potential and grasp all the different things that the Michigan State offense, it does ask more of the quarterbacks and receivers than a lot of college offenses do these days. But I think that also helps the guy once he gets to this point. And Aaron Burbridge heard about that from some of the NFL people he talked to in interviews. So I think he's going to be a solid player. And then Shalik Calhoun, I think that'd be a value pick if he's, like a fourth round pick. I think that's a value pick. He's a very good defensive end. There were times people said, well, this guy's a first round lock. And I never bought that. He's 6'3", he's athletic, but it's not like he's, blot out the sun 6'6", monster pass rusher, but he's very good against the run, very smart. He's a leader. And he makes plays, and he carried them in some games as a senior when the rest of their defense was struggling, and he just made some plays that, a couple of games they wouldn't have won without him taking on double teams and making huge plays. He's a definitely a guy you'd want in your locker room, too.
Well, now, Calhoun, do you see him fitting in better with a 4-3 or a 3-4? Because he's got that tweener size, you know, at 6'4", 250.
Yeah, to me, I still think he's better as a 4-3 end. I mean, it's easy to say that's what you saw him in, but I don't know. It's hard, a little bit harder for me to project that in the 3-4. I'm sure he can do it, but I just think he's better suited as a 4-3 end.
All right, my question about Burbridge is the dropsies. Now, we know during the first 3 years of Michigan State, he wasn't much of a headline grabber and then became their number one guy last season. But the dropsies are an issue. How much do you think that's going to impact his draft value?
Well, they were. And that's the thing. He's one of those guys who kind of, you see some guys who just put it all together. And as a senior, and everything, route running, reading things, just feel for the game and really catching the ball. I mean, he was tremendous catching the ball as a senior. There's no question. Earlier in his career, he had the dropsies at times, kind of like Benny Fowler, a guy he played with who now is with the Broncos, played with at Michigan State, guy who dropped all kinds of passes early, figured out late. But no, I think Burbridge proved a lot last year in that regard. I'm trying to remember how many drops he had last year. It was very few, so I think he's all right there now.
All right, Joe Rexroad from the Detroit Free Press. Final thoughts now. We've got Kuiper saying Conklin to the Giants at 10. Give me your best thumbnail case as to why that should be the Giants pick, and then give me a thumbnail case as to why you don't think they should take him at 10.
Well, I think the point made there about Flowers is an interesting one. And I think the reason to take Jack Conklin is because he can play both sides. He this is a guy with outstanding intangibles, all the athleticism you want. One of those guys who as a junior in high school was 6'3", 250, and was not recruited. And then all of a sudden he grows into this, 6'7 frame. He's athletic. He is a leader. He's an excellent player. And then not take him. I guess the reason not to take him is if you feel good at left tackle, I still think that's Conklin's position long term. And I might look elsewhere if I'm thinking more right tackle.
Good stuff.
Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. So, I mean, Paul, we've heard it. I mean, it's been conversations, it's been questions that the media has asked both Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo, as well as the new offensive line coach, Soleri.
Yes.
This has been a question that a lot of people have been asking, and that is, what do you – because there are some people out there, analysts, scouts, whatever, who feel that Flowers would be better on the right side than the left. They don't feel that he's a left tackle. They feel that he'd be a better right tackle. But the Giants have come out and said that's his position, and that's where he's going to stay.
Yeah.
And I get it. I think they like the consistency and the chemistry that's already 1 year in the books.
Him and
with
Pugh.
Pugh and that whole left side with Richburg, Pugh, and Flowers. I get it. But if you've got a guy like Conklin who's available that we're hearing all these phenomenal things about, and you have an opportunity to put him on the left because he plays better on the left, but that Flowers would be better suited on the right, is that a move that the Giants make? I don't think so.
I don't either.
But you would know better than I.
No, I don't know either. And the other thing is Stanley, who's the other offensive tackle that's being graded in the top 10 coming out of Notre Dame, he's also a guy who some people think, he'd be better on the left than he would be on the right because maybe he's a better technician than he is a physical power guy. So maybe he should be a left tackle instead of a right tackle. I get all of that. With both of these guys, you could certainly make a case that maybe they belong on the left side. But, again, I'm with you on this one, Anita. I think the Giants' chemistry issues that they're trying to build with that offensive line are outweighing any thoughts that they would have about moving Flowers to the other side of the line. And I get that feeling from them. I also think it's the right way to go, so be it.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. How you get in. Also, we have a very special surprise guest who's joining us. He tweeted out, I'm not going to say the name. Well, it'll be a surprise.
Okay.
You know who it is. You're not going to be surprised.
No, I'm not going to be surprised.
But this is a gentleman who tweeted out in regard to Miles Jack. And everybody knows what a huge player crush I have on Miles Jack in regard to the Giants going out and drafting him. And Pro Football Focus has him dropping to 10. That's the only mock draft I see him dropping to 10. So, but this one gentleman tweeted out that his ceiling is ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. So I tweeted out to him. He said he's going to call in, so he's going to join us. And also I'm going to ask him about some other players that have been linked to the Giants. Of course, Vernon Hargreaves, as we know, Shaq Lawson, who you're a big fan of, which, by the way, Giants fans, there is an excellent, excellent article out that Shaq Lawson wrote himself on Bleacher Report, and it's about his life, his ordeal of losing his father off the football field,
how
it changed him as a young man, going to Clemson and then being at Clemson and then Clemson sending him to a military school for a year, how difficult it was for him to accept that, but he did it, and then coming back to Clemson and growing as a man. And I mean, it is, and he wrote it himself. I highly recommend you Google it and you check it out. I emailed it to Paul Dottino this morning.
And you know, I've been kind of touting Lawson for a couple of months now as a player because I only looked at the film. I wasn't aware of a lot of his background stuff. When I got this morning from her and I went through it, I was like, my goodness, you have to root for this kid. I don't care where he lands. You got to root for him. I mean, he has a story that just goes right to your gut. So, I think he'd be a great pick for the Giants at 10. He'd certainly be a consideration for me. I don't know that he gets there. But if he does, that's going to be a really, really tough decision because if that Miles Jack character falls to 10, I don't think I could pass on him.
Yeah. So I mean, listen, it's a great position for the Giants to be in. And there's so many players now that really are associated with where the Giants might go. Again, Jack Conklin, who Mel Kiper Jr., and we just heard from Rex Road in Detroit, Vernon Hargreaves, Shaq Lawson, Leonard Floyd, also Stanley. I mean, so there's a lot of potential across the board in regard to what the Giants can do with that number 10 pick.
They're going to get a really good impact player, and they should at 10. I mean, come on, if you don't, you've got a problem. And the good news is that all of these impact guys who we're talking about, this handful of folks that Anita just mentioned, every single one of them are not only outstanding blue chip prospects, but they all happen to fit a need that the Giants have. This is a case where prospects fits need. It doesn't always happen that way.
201-939-4513. Let's take some calls. We go to Will calling in from Birmingham. Will, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hello?
I think we lost Will.
So much for that.
Let's go to line 3. We have AJ calling in from South Carolina. AJ?
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I know the Giants are two new offensive linemen, Wayne Seymour.
Right.
A center.
What the Giants did the last couple of days, they picked up a couple of guys who have been around the league for a few years. They both have connections to the 49ers and Coach Solari. To me, their resumes look to me as if they've been brought in here to compete for depth and backup roles. I don't see either one of these guys as full-time starters based on what they've shown at this point in their NFL careers. That doesn't mean they can't surprise and have a great camp and take a job. You never know. But at this point, I don't think that solves their offensive line issues in terms of starting.
And one more thing before I go. I know the Giants consider drafting Hargreaves. What percentage do you think he'd be there at number 10?
Well, Hargreaves would be a great pick also, a cover corner who's just, I mean, he has so many skills. I love the guy. I don't see him getting there. I really don't.
You don't see him still being available at 10?
I don't. Okay. I mean, he could, and if he is, I guarantee you he's probably, well, I shouldn't say guarantee because I don't know what they're doing upstairs, but I would think he'd be in their cluster. If he drops to 10, I would think he would be in their cluster, and I would not even give them one iota of criticism if they took a cover corner, Hargreaves at 10. I would have no problem with that whatsoever. By the way, Dylan Farrell was the other offensive lineman you were talking about a moment ago. I know you didn't mention him.
Let's go to line 2.
Okay.
Thank you for the phone call. Let's go to line 2. Joe's calling in from PA. Joe, welcome.
Hey. Hi there, Paul. Hey, Anita.
Hi.
I know we're speculating all the time with these draft picks, and now I was just wondering here. We're talking about the third tackle, the third corner, and even the receiver who we don't have ranked up there and at, but we possibly, you see more and more, could have the number one running back. Is that definitely out or what, Paul?
You mean Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you're talking about number one, some saying, you know, definitely the best offensive player in the draft, you know, number four or five rated, you know. I'm just saying, I know we don't need them, but, I mean, what do you do there for sure to, you know, if you can't trade back real quick or so? Is he out? He definitely out or what?
I would not take him. He would not be in my cluster, but Anita was at the combine, and you know how many fans he's got, Anita. This guy is considered a super primo prospect.
Yeah, I understand. One other thing I want to say here, too, Dwayne Harris, the way he moved up to receiver last year, if he makes a jump like he did last year for his first year, we better get somebody back there. I was upset when they left that specialty kid go last year. I forget his name, just a young kid.
Akeem Hunt.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how he made out. But we better get somebody else back there to run whatever, because if Harris makes the jump, like he did last year,
Joe,
Paul.
Joe, that's not what they want. They want Harris to go back to specials.
I understand. But look at that jump he made, and we're not sure what we're going to have at receiver. You know, you can't have them all in there. That's what I'm saying. Get somebody back there to receive just in case. And one other thing nobody mentioned in that, I don't know if they would or not, the Giants, you think they would pick up a place kicker in this draft, maybe around the fourth round or anything, or no?
I would not think so. Place kickers are usually a dime a dozen. You can get a veteran guy who's got a proven resume usually anytime over the summer. If you're shopping for one, I'm still of the belief that Josh Brown will be back.
Okay, no problem there. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, Joe.
You know, the kicker from FSU is not half bad.
Not half bad? He's phenomenal.
I know.
I believe he's as high as a two or three third-round pick on some people. Is it Aguilar?
A second-round pick?
Really? Some people think he could be a two.
Interesting.
Yeah, I had my notes on him, and I didn't bring them with me today. He said something like he's never missed an extra point. He's never missed a field goal inside of 40. He last year was around 55%, I think, touchbacks on kickoffs. I mean, he's really good.
Yeah, but a second round. Wow. All right, let's bring in our very special guest. The name is Sam Munson. He's from Pro Football Focus. Sam, welcome in. Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Really,
hey, Sam.
Really appreciate it. You're calling in from across the pond. So not sure exactly what time it is there, but nonetheless, we appreciate your time. I wanted to bring you on because I saw your tweet the other day. Well, twofold here. Number one is Pro Football Focus is the only quote-unquote mock draft.
We need to fan her down.
It's the only mock draft that actually has Miles Jack falling to 10 and possibly going to the Giants. I'm a huge Miles Jack fan, and then you were tweeting in regard to the fact that his ceiling is just ridiculous. I wanted to bring you on. And A, why do you think Miles Jack would still be there available at 10? There's a number of people who don't. In fact, I'm looking at the Giants, the tweets that are coming in from Giants fans, and they think it's ridiculous to even think that Miles Jack would be there at 10. So if you can, what makes you think he will be there at 10? And kind of break him down for us in regards to what type of pro player you think he'll become.
He played an interesting position at UCLA. He was used all over the place. They would have him lining up at safety. They'd have him covering the slot. They'd have him down in the box as a conventional linebacker. At the NFL level, I think he's probably a plug-and-play 4-3 weak side linebacker. And I think
agree.
That's where he's made to play. I think that he'll be really good at that position. But there are people out there that don't think that that is a particularly valuable position and think that the impact a guy can have playing that spot is lower than a guy who can play somewhere else, a corner or an offensive tackle or an interior defensive lineman or even an edge rusher. And I think when we get towards the draft, we're going to see, you know, at the moment everybody is in love with the notion of what Miles Jack can become or can be at the next level. But I think there's a chance that come draft time, there'll be a group of people who kind of have a reality check and think, you know what, if even if he's a really, really good 4-3 weak side linebacker, I don't know if we want to take that at number 5 overall, or if we want to take that at number 3 overall. I think there's a chance that a couple of those teams in the top 10 pass on him, and he starts to slip a little bit further than people are expecting right now.
Wow. I'll be honest with you, Sam. I just think that he is such a good football player. Let me use that term very strongly. Football player. And you get too many folks sometimes who get enamored with athletes that high in the first round, and they want to draft these fellas who run around really well and look good. This kid is a football player. You know it. You've seen the films. Look, if he gets to 10, I'm absolutely shocked, and I'm sprinting up to the podium for the Giants to make the pick.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I think that people get a little bit over the top in some of this stuff when it comes to draft time. You know, there have been people that said that a guard or an off or a 4-3 linebacker just isn't worth a top 10 spot. But I think you have to work on the basis that most draft picks are not going to end up as Pro Bowl players. You have to assume that if you can get even a Pro Bowl player at a guard or at a weak side linebacker spot, that guy is going to be dramatically better than the standard you're going to usually expect, even in the top 10. It's just such a difficult process still to get these good players. I think you've got to take them wherever you can get them. And if a guy like Miles Jack is around there, definitely. I think, you know, he's not a perfect prospect. There's some stuff in his game that isn't great, but what he does well is incredible. And it's tailor-made for today's NFL. He is this coverage phenomenon, and he has movement skills that very, very few linebackers in the NFL have. You know, the ability to match up with guys in man coverage. You'll see him covering college wide receivers down the field in man coverage. You know, even if he won't be expected to do that in the NFL in terms of matchup with wideouts, that gives him such a leg up in terms of covering tight ends and running backs out of the backfield, which is what you want these linebackers to be able to do. So his coverage ability, I think, for a linebacker is fantastic. And he's got incredible athleticism, the ability to run after the ball, chase down running backs, You know, knife through traffic. The only real concern I have with his game is, one, there's a little bit of ill-discipline in there. There's too many silly penalties that he shouldn't be getting. And two, I don't love the way he deals with blockers. He flashes the ability to do it, to get off these blocks and to dominate offensive linemen at times. But overall, there are too many plays where he's blocked out of the play that, you know, is going to be a bigger problem at the next level where the caliber of offensive lineman is better.
Well, see, that's why, Sam, he would not be like an inside linebacker for me, because I want to get him away from traffic. You know what I'm saying? I think Dallas, to be honest with you, at 4, if they don't take Joey Bosa, if they decide that they don't want to take Buckner or Bosa with a defensive lineman pick at number 4, I think Miles Jack could be a great pick for Dallas. I really do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's why he is a 4-3 weak side linebacker as opposed to an inside linebacker pretty much in any scheme. I think you want to try and keep the trash away from him. You want to give him the free run to the ball and just let him attack. And I think that's what he should be. Yeah, there's several spaces in the top 10 where he could go, you know, depending on where guys go. Bosa and Buckner are two big pieces in the whole equation. Those two guys could go in several different spots and kind of cause dominoes to fall behind them depending on where they end up. If Bosa's there for Dallas, I think they'd be crazy to pass on him. But if they do decide they want to go in another direction, they could definitely do a hell of a lot worse than Jack at 4. There's definitely places he could go before 10, but I just think there's a chance he might end up slipping a little bit.
Sam Munson joining us. You can find him at Pro Football Focus. Sam, before we let you go, and again, I so appreciate your time, a few other names of players that are out there that have been associated with the Giants, and one in particular we were just talking about the majority of the show, and that's Jack Conklin, offensive tackle from Michigan State. That's new with Mel Kiper's 4.0 mock draft. Also, Vernon Hargraves, Shaq Lawson, even Leonard Floyd, linebacker from Georgia. Again, just to throw out some names of guys that have been associated with potentially the Giants taking with that number 10 pick. Out of those guys that I just threw out your way, who intrigues you the most?
They're all pretty interesting picks. Leonard Floyd is a really interesting guy. He's a guy that has the ability to play multiple different positions. He can be an edge guy. He can be a stand-up off-the-ball linebacker. He doesn't really strike me as a Giants kind of player, but that's, you know, I think they probably should take him because he's the kind of player they haven't taken in the past that they probably hurt right now in terms of the linebacker core from not having taken. He's a guy that I think could be a bit like Von Miller in terms of play stand-up linebacker for their first couple of downs and then kick back down to the edge and rush the passer. Or, you know, like an Anthony Barr, who's probably capable of doing both, even if the Vikings only really have him playing stand-up linebacker. He's a guy that I think you could take straight away and have him help two different areas of the team, help him improve the linebacker core, improve the pass rush for the Giants. That would be a really interesting pick, and I think be a big deviation from what they've tended to do in the past. I'd be all in favor of that guy as their pick out of those names.
Okay, good stuff.
All right, really quick, last one before I let you go. A lot of talk about Jalen Smith. Obviously, his injury is the biggest concern. Some say if he would not have gotten injured in that bowl game, that possibly maybe he'd be number one overall. So knowing that that could be his potential when healthy, realistically, Sam, where do you see, what round do you see him going in?
It's so difficult to tell. I think that some people were a little carried away in terms of Jalen Smith. I heard a great way of describing it, that people were more in love with the idea of what Jalen Smith can be than what he actually is. If you watch his tape, a guy like Miles Jack has graded more almost exactly at the top of PFF's linebacker grades over the last couple of college seasons. Jalen Smith never really got to that level. I think he can be a pretty special coverage linebacker, but he doesn't have the same impact that Jack has in the run game or as a blitzer. He's just not as good as a guy like Miles Jack, I think. It's tough. His knee does not sound good. It's very rare now that you get injuries that really affect a guy's career. You know, ACLs are almost routine. But when you do the kind of thing that Jalen Smith has done, it's a Marcus Lattimore type of injury where it can completely derail a guy's career and really throw it into major question marks. I don't think he should go really in the first couple of days if you have that big a question mark over how healthy his knee is.
Yeah, nerve damage in particular.
Yeah, Sam, exactly. Sam, it's a big question mark.
Sam, thank you so much. Again, appreciate you calling in from across the pond. You have a great day.
Thank you, Sam.
Or evening.
No problem. Anytime,
whatever,
guys.
Whatever the case may be. You got it. So, again, just wanted him to come on because I saw his tweet yesterday and was pretty taken back by it. But interesting, you and I had a conversation about Jalen Smith. You think he's going to go higher than you think he is going to go possibly the second day, right?
Well, I think when they find out exactly where his nerve stands this week, they're going to have another medical exam for him. And if that nerve is coming back, we had the assistant sports editor from the South Bend Tribune on the other day, Eric Hansen, and he said if there was a good report on that nerve and there was some regeneration going on, he could sneak up higher into maybe the second or third round. If there's not, now you're probably looking at him fourth round or deeper. So a lot's going to depend on that medical exam that's coming up for Jalen Smith. But see, my only contention with Sam, or my only contradiction there, is I don't think the Irish used him to his maximum advantage and to his maximum skill set. And I think that's why maybe he didn't grade out as well as Miles Jack did on Pro Football Focus's boards. Because I do think that Jalen Smith is just a premier prospect. And, yes, I could imagine what he could do for a coordinator like Spagnuolo. I really could. But anyway, that's just my opinion. But, you know, he's not going to be picked in the first round. I think we pretty much all know that.
I think it's just too much of a risk. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get in. We still have our Giants baseball lineup.
My winning team.
You're so funny. But
the Blue Bombers. My winning team, the Blue Bombers.
That's what you're calling them. So Paul Dottino came up with this idea that with the fact that baseball season is now underway, that we would put together a roster of Giants players playing on a baseball team. So that's what we did. I'm going to share that in a minute, but I do want to share some tweets before we do get to that. Is that all right?
Go ahead.
Because there are a lot of Giants fans out there that are just feel that there is no way in heck that Miles Davis will be there at 10. Miles Jack is going to be there at 10 and feels that we are that was the jazz side of me coming out.
It's music to our ears if he is.
Yes.
How about that?
But they feel like we're wasting our time here on Big Blue Kickoff Live talking about Miles Jack.
He made a good argument, though.
No, I know he did.
He made it sound like it could be.
I know he did.
Are you going to be okay?
I'm fine, but Giants fans just feel like we're wasting our time talking about Miles Jack. They have no faith, no belief that he'd be there. This is from James. He says, most efficient solution for offense, draft Ezekiel Elliott, pair with Jennings, Dwayne Harris, number two wide receiver, Vereen in slot is Cruz insurance. I do believe, by the way, I do believe that we're going to see Vereen play a lot more slot this season.
Yeah, probably.
I do believe that.
I mean, look, here's the bottom line. The Giants, they're going to get an impact guy at 10. Okay, now whether or not you believe Miles Jack is going to be there or not, whether it's the corner, whether it's the tackle, whether it's the linebacker, whether it's the defensive lineman, there's going to be an impact guy at one of those spots available for them. And just be happy whoever it turns out to be. But don't be dissing Miles Jack and the thought that he could be there, because crazy things happen in this draft. It always does. Guys drop 4, 5, 6, 7 spots all the time. And the Giants are only at 10. Okay? It's not out of the question he falls from 4 or 5 down to 10. It could happen.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Lynn calling in from Columbia, Maryland. Lynn, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Lynn.
Well, I do not wanting to bore anybody out there who's listening, but I was going to talk about Miles Jack, and if you'll give me 30 seconds, and then I'll either get off the phone or we'll go on to something else. And, we certainly don't want to bore the other listeners. But, you know, I keep thinking, Anita, we've seen these mocks, and we heard this gentleman just talk to us a couple of minutes ago. I mean, anywhere from 4 to 10, you know? I haven't seen any mocks or heard of any mocks that have Jacks going past 10.
Right.
Anywhere from 4 to 10. And well, I keep asking myself, why would these teams pass on this guy?
Len, that's because if he gets to 10, you have to believe the Giants are going to take him.
Yeah. But, I mean, I can't – yeah. I mean, the bottom line is I can't see – you know, you have to ask yourself at 10. Could he drop past 10? I mean, could the Giants be sitting at 10 and say to themselves, like the Cowboys at 4 or Tampa at 9 or the Eagles at 8 – there's somebody there who we think will be more productive than Jack's next year. I mean, what would be the thinking of these teams to pass on him? There's somebody else there who's better.
Well, I
then
think
could that happen at 10, Paul?
I think maybe the one thing that kind of supports Sam Monson's argument and makes Anita very, very happy is that there are people in front of the Giants who desperately need a quarterback, who desperately need somebody to cover somebody in the secondary. Who desperately, like Philadelphia, desperately needs Ezekiel Elliott. You know what I mean?
People
who desperately need a defensive lineman. There are desperate needs that do fit the impact players in this draft in front of the Giants. That's what maybe makes this possible.
Okay, if that's the case, Paul, what you're saying is that somebody is going to draft 1 through 9 based on a dire need that they have, not on best player available.
No, because
let me just continue.
Yeah, but Len,
that be the case with the Giants as well at 10, where they say, you know what, we're short at wide receiver. Let's go get Treadwell, Fuller, Dotson,
I
Coleman.
Don't see it. I don't see it.
Or could it be the right or could it be the tackle? There are better players on the board, but we need a right tackle. Let's get Conklin. Let's get Stanley while we can and fill that spot.
Well,
if it's possible for other teams in the first 10, it could be possible for us too, right?
But offensive tackle is clearly a desperate need for the Giants. They need a stud right tackle. To me, if they draft Stanley or Conklin, that's not a reach.
No, it's not. I think you were right before, Paul, when you said when we get to our pick, there's going to be 6 or 7 guys whoever they pick, we're going to be happy with.
Do you have any idea?
I mean, there's just a lot of
– Really?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any idea how I'm going to be bouncing off the walls on draft night? Do you have any idea?
It's going to be fun. Hey, listen, thanks for taking my call. Let's let somebody else get on. Thank you, guys.
You got it.
Thank you.
Let's take one more call before we do your fun little baseball exercise.
Yes.
Let's go to Steven in Bayonne.
Hello.
Hi, Steven. Hello? Hi.
Hey. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Let me take off speaker one. Hello?
Yeah.
Is that better?
We got you.
Okay. I know these players haven't been drafted yet, and I'm thinking way ahead to rookie minicamps, but a couple weeks ago, well, a couple times, you guys were talking about how 00 is basically a second-year rookie.
Yes.
Because he didn't get to play all last season.
He's a redshirt is what he is. He's a redshirt rookie.
Yeah. I was wondering, would he be allowed to go to this year's rookie minicamp, or is it only strictly for this year's drafted rookies?
No, the rookie. Undrafted. I believe the rookie minicamp is just for rookies. I'm not sure about that, though, so do not hold me to it. I will tell you this. The Giants have the first day of reporting for players on April 11th, and the OTAs begin on May the 23rd. That's on Giants.com. If you'll take a look, there is a schedule right now on Giants.com that will give you an indication as to when the guys are coming in. There's a voluntary minicamp beginning on April the 26th, right before the draft. So that gives you an indication of who's coming in when. But you know what? I'm not 100% sure what the technicalities are about Owe coming in.
Okay. That's it. Thank you, guys. Enjoy your day.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it. All right, Paul. But really quick, let me let folks know, and just a reminder that, of course, this show is brought to you by DraftKings, changing the way you play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play, which, by the way, I've been very successful the past 2 days in fantasy baseball.
Baseball?
I have.
Nice.
Yep.
Means your players didn't get washed out or frozen out by the snow or
no.
anything like that?
No.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
Speaking of baseball,
yep.
We put together some teams here.
Yes.
All right. If the New York Football Giants had a baseball team and you had to make their starting nine, okay, we're going to ask you folks which team would win, Anita's or mine. Now, of course, I'm asking for trouble challenging you with anything, but I'm going to do this anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to read your lineup first or
no,
should I read mine?
No, let's go. I think we should go position by position. So.
Well, see, I actually wrote a lineup out, not just position by position, but I've got a batting order.
Okay.
I have a batting order.
Okay, well, you didn't say that.
Okay.
You didn't...
That's okay. All right, you want to just go position by position?
Yes, let's go position by
my
position.
My catcher is Devon Kennard.
Devon Kennard? You don't even know if he has an arm.
He's my catcher. He's a big guy. He's a stud. He's thick. He's strong. He's an athlete. He's my catcher.
Interesting. I have Nikita Whitlock as my catcher.
Oh, that's really good, too.
I know. And he has an arm.
He
so
does.
So I think I won there. What's
okay.
next?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm 1-0.
My first baseman's Olivier Vernon.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. That's where I have Kennard or JT Thomas. Big, solid. One of them has to be left-handed.
Yeah, but see, Vernon is a power guy at a power position. He's big. He's strong. Leader. Impact guy. First baseman's got to be kind of that guy.
Okay, I have Devon Kennard at first base, and then JT Thomas filling in when need be.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you.
I don't have a backup.
Saying, but I have Kennard.
All right. My second baseman is Shane Vereen.
Really?
He's got to have good hands to work the double play.
That's why I have Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz is my second baseman.
Wow. You told me I'd be surprised by some of your guys.
Go ahead.
My shortstop is Odell Beckham Jr. That's a no-brainer.
Okay. We're on the same page there.
I mean, in fact, if Odell wants to play all nine positions for me, he can.
Okay. So we're same. That's
okay.
So we're both on the same page. Odell at shortstop. Yes.
My third baseman is Rashad Jennings.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Why?
I think he's got pretty good hands. I think he's got some good power, strong physique. I think he's got some decent range.
I've got somebody who's even got better hands than him, and that's Shane Vereen, and he's my third baseman.
Well, you know, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
I still think my team's better than yours.
My left fielder is Victor Cruz.
Okay. My left fielder is Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, because do you know on Madden, he's got the highest vertical?
But see, that's why he's playing center field for me.
Well, you haven't heard who my center fielder is.
Okay.
Yet. So Dominic Rogers-Cromartie is playing left. Landon Collins is playing center field.
No.
Yes, yes.
No. Landon Collins is my right fielder.
And that's Janoris Jenkins. So we're in agreement in regard to like a lot of the DBs. But come on, how can you not have Landon Collins play center field?
No, because I need the speed and I need the ball hawking ability and I need the leaping ability. I need DRC to play center field.
Okay.
Okay. And Collins, who's a little bulkier and not as much of a ball hawk, but has a good physique. He's a good athlete. I like him in right field. I think he's got a good arm. At least I think he does. I don't know, but I think he does. And I also think that my right field is supposed to be a guy who's got a little more power at the plate. And I think that he's got more muscle on him. So I'm going for Landon Collins in right field, DRC in center, and Victor Cruz in left. Now, who's your DH?
That is Vernon. I think you're wasting Vernon on first base.
I got Owe Odigizua as my DH. You can't knock that one.
Okay. I think Vernon is the more established athlete.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Who's your starting pitcher?
Come on. Really? Are we even going to?
Yeah. Nassib.
Really?
Yeah.
And what, Eli's your closer?
Absolutely.
See, I have it reversed. I have Eli Manning as my starting pitcher. I have Nassib as my closer. And every now and then you could bring in Odell. Did you see him? Have you seen the YouTube video of him pitching?
With the Rockland Boulders, there was a charity game last year, and he took to the hill and apparently was winging it over 80 miles an hour from the rubber.
Yeah. I mean, it was really impressive. So whose baseball team do you think would have more success? Mine?
Come on.
Or Paul DeTino's? Hit us up, hashtag Giants Chat, and we will share your tweets on the show. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. If you want to get in, now is the time to do it. A lot of really good information that we got today from Rex Road as well as Sam Munson. But again, listen, I know we spent a lot of time here talking about Miles Jack, I think, because that's the one guy that I think a lot of us are hoping that he'll be on the board at 10. But let's face it, at the end of the day, the Giants are going to get a good player. The Giants are going to get a good player.
Well, there's no question. I love what this gentleman, E, the chosen one, just tweeted out to us. I think we should concentrate on number 40, which is the Giants pick in the second round, because 10 is driving us all crazy.
So what? Really?
Yeah, that's great.
Is it that funny?
Yeah, it is. Because I'm going nuts.
Is it that amusing?
I am. I am bouncing off the walls. I'm going crazy. I really am.
So here we've got some tweets coming in regard to our teams.
Yes.
Juan says Collins can't jump and catch the ball Patriots game. So I guess that means he doesn't like my pick of having him in center field.
Karen
says going with Anita's team. I don't know a lot about baseball, but I would have had Eli as the starting pitcher. I think that was your big.
Okay. So be it. So be it.
I think Paul's lineup is a little lacking.
Lacking? Lacking in what? I've got speed. I've got power. I've got athleticism. I've got some. All right. Here's the thing, because we didn't actually go through the lineup. See, my lineup is so strategically planned. I got Beckham leading off in short. DRC batting second in center field. Vernon at first base hitting third. Owe is the DH batting fourth. Kennard, my catcher, batting fifth, followed by Collins, Jennings, Cruz, Vereen, and then Nassib is
I don't
not
even
hitting.
Have Rashad Jennings on my team. What makes you think that Rashad is going to be this phenomenal baseball player?
I think Rashad Jennings can do anything he wants to do because he is a workout demon. I mean, this guy is cut out of stone, and there's nothing that he will not do physically to make himself a better athlete. So Rashad Jennings, I got him playing the hot corner for me.
201-939-4513. I have VC at two. I have VC at second base. I have Odell Beckham Jr. at center field. I considered that, but I was just like, no.
So did I.
You got to put the dude at shortstop. Paul, you're going to think your team is better because it's your team. Ha ha ha. That's from Karen. Let's take some calls before. Just a fun way to end the show today. Let's take some calls, 201-939-4513. We go to Jeff in New Hampshire. Jeff, welcome in.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Welcome.
Good. I just wanted to jump in on your Miles Jack conversation real quick. I'm as big a fan of him as a player as you are.
Sure.
And I saw another possible scenario. I figured just throw it out there. I saw a mock draft that actually seemed pretty viable. I had him fall into number 7 with San Francisco. And I think it was Tunzel, the quarterback, Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner, and that was the 6 players picked ahead of him. So that's believable. Had San Francisco picking him at 7. If this were to play out, this is where I would be advocating for a trade up. Normally I'm not a big trade up guy. I I think we'd have to give up an awful lot to move up into the top three or four to guarantee to get him. But if he's still sitting on the board at seven, this is where I see a trade making sense. I think San Francisco needs a quarterback. And if they were to trade down to 10 with us, a quarterback's still going to be there for him at 10. A trade up from 10 to 7, we're not going to have to give up quite as much as we would to trade from 10 to 3 or from 10 to 4. So I don't remember whose mock draft it was, but I know that's one possible scenario. I know if that one were to come true and Jack's sitting on the board at 7, that's what I'm thinking about trading up for him.
All right, so
this is the only thing here, is that I really do, everything that I'm hearing is I do believe that this Colin Kaepernick trade is going to get done with Denver. And if that's the case, I think San Francisco goes quarterback there, whether it's Goff or Wentz, who's ever still on the board.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with her on this one, but if you're going to make a
trade...
Well,
that's why I'm saying with the quarterback, I think the quarterback would still be there at 10 for them. The Eagles aren't taking a quarterback, and Tampa Bay's not taking a quarterback.
Well, that's also true.
I mean, some people say the Eagles are taking the quarterback. I don't get it with the money they spent on, they spent money on a backup, Chase Daniel, and they spent money on Bradford. Why are they taking a quarterback in the top 10? I just don't see it. And obviously we know Tampa Bay is not taking a quarterback at 10 with Winston.
Right. Well, you're making a good case maybe for San Francisco to do this, but now if you're the Giants, you're going to have to give up your third-round pick to make that move. Okay, to go from 10 to 7. You're going to have to give up your number 3. Okay,
I'm doing that for Miles Jack all day long.
You're really going to do that. Knowing, and I'm a huge Miles Jack fan, but I got to believe that the Giants believe they can get a starter or a guy who's going to be a significant player for them in the third round with the 71st overall pick in this draft. I got to believe they believe that. So I don't know that I can do that.
You know, I think about that a lot, too. You know, it's hard to say what you're going to get in the third round. DeMontre Moore was a third-round pick. Didn't get anything out of him. Odighizu, a third-round pick. He was hurt. You know, we don't know what we're getting out of him.
Don't know.
If Jack is as good as he can possibly be, I mean, when is a player worth trading up for? You know, look at some of the defensive players in the last 5 years, Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, Luke Kuechly. Look what they've produced on the field. If I only have to give up a third-round pick to move up a couple of spots to get a player as good as a Khalil Mack, a J.J. Watt, or whoever, and if I believe Miles Jack is that guy, yeah, I'm giving up a third-round pick for that. I'm not giving it up for just anybody, but if Jack could be that good, and then when I look at what we've had at the linebacker position...
I'd be more inclined to agree with you if I thought the Giants were simply a linebacker away from being a Super Bowl contender. I think the Giants right now have a few places that they need to fill, and therefore I'm reluctant to give up the extra body because I think that can be a starter in the third round.
Jeff, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. We got to get one more call in before we end the show, but this is the one thing that really stands out for me in regard to having Sam on today, and that was him talking about how what a spectacular cover linebacker
yeah.
he is.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, one thing that I think we can agree on right now is, like, the trend of where the NFL is right now and where it's also heading. And that is a really a pass-happy league, and it's only going to continue to be that. And so he is that caliber of linebacker that I think is going to have more value as the years come.
Well, he's certainly not coming off the field. That's for sure. He's a three-down backer. And you know what?
Especially teams that have to go up against the Patriots, especially in the NFC, in the AFC East, that face the Patriots twice with Gronk and now Martellus Bennett. Are you kidding me? I mean, Jack would be like, Jack's the kind of linebacker. He's the type of player you need defensively to stop kind of that offensive power that the Patriots and I think other teams are going to mimic.
You know, I I'm going to tell you flat out, I agree with her 1,000% that I think Miles Jack is an absolute blue chip stud who I would just be ecstatic to see fall to the Giants at number 10. I'm with you with that 1,000%, Anita. My problem is, in terms of trading up, I just can't see the Giants giving up even a third rounder because I think that they have holes to fill, and I think they can help fill holes with the third round pick, whether it's a corner, because there are some corners here that project as NFL make it guys in the third round. Could that even be an extra offensive tackle? Could that be a wide receiver who the Giants may desperately need to help out that receiving core? The Giants have some holes here. This is not a one plug and you're going to the Super Bowl kind of thing. If it was, then I would say go, make the deal, get the stud.
But looking at this year's Super Bowl, Who was the defining player for them? Von Miller, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And that's the player that Sam Monson kind of,
I mean,
used the analogy in regard to what the potential that Miles Jack can be for a team and an organization. Really quick, more tweets are coming in, and I appreciate it.
Oh, no.
Hashtag Giants chat.
No.
This is from WJBR. I'm a fan of the tan Dottino, but Anita's team wins. This is from DJ One Life. He says, go Paul, nice lineup, but I'm picking Eli as my starter. See, I think that's where you failed. Let's take one more caller before we end the show. We go to Hotlanta. We've got Greg on board. Greg, let's end strong today, my friend.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, I call every year. I'm an avid Giants fan, and I called last year and said the same thing about the guy who the linebacker Denver picked up last year. I really thought the Giants should have got him. Now you got a chance to get a Miles Jack. The Giants, the front four, we always address that need, and we always shop for corners. We do not address the need of linebacker. And I like Paul. Paul is one of my favorite guys. But I do think a Miles Jack is a guy that probably can get us to the Super Bowl. We don't have linebackers. And you have to have the middle of the field protected, because that's where the Giants lose a lot of battles at. A lot of people dominate us with their tight ends, and we need that linebacker. And I will give up that third-round pick to get him. If not, you have to address the need on the offensive side, and you have to get a stud running back. I like Jennings, but we need fresh legs back there, or somebody opposite Odell Beckham. That's just my thoughts. Out of those three positions, yeah, I will trade up for any one of those three positions, because I think they are all difference makers.
Thank you for the phone call.
You know, yep. The great part about this, and in some ways it's a hairy part, but it's also a great part, is that you really could make a strong argument for a number of different directions for the Giants to go at 10. This is not really a one-sided argument where you're right and you're wrong. You could make a lot of different cases here and come up with a lot of logical reasons to go in many different directions. And I guess that's what makes it fun, but it really also gives me a tremendous headache.
Hey, it's been a fun show. Yes. Your baseball team was fun.
Did I lose? Did I really lose?
I think you did. More folks are tweeting in that they like my team better than yours.
She always wins.
I'm sorry. But I like that you put in a lineup. So you didn't tell me. You just said, how would I feel the team?
Okay.
But I do like your lineup.
My lineup is good.
Yeah.
That's a good lineup.
I think it is. I think it's fun.
Thank you.
It's better than what the Yankees are putting out there right now. Ow. Sorry. I know. Hey, we want to thank everybody for tuning in today to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Are you back tomorrow?
No, I'm back on Friday.
Okay, so then that means it's Lance and John Schmelk. So make sure you tune in tomorrow, same time, high noon, right here, Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
All right, here we go. Come on, man, we need the work. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through.